Hallelujah. Glory to the King. All right, let us stand here for a moment. Y'all doing all right? Here, Stray will be trying to get us a little bit of rest. Trying to. Some of us. Because I know the brethren, they're probably still trucking along in different areas. Glory to the King. Abba Yahweh, we bless your magnificent name. We do humbly ask and request and in the name of Jesus, that you will speak to us your words of truth, that these sayings will sink deep down in our hearts, and our lives will not become form and fashion, but a reality, a manifestation of the Spirit that you have given us by your word, that it will be manifested amongst the Goyim, and your name will be glorified. We thank you for the blood. We thank you because our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Yahshua's name, amen. All right, may be seated. You know, I just got finished doing a video. Called Returning Sicknesses. It's about 17, 18 minutes long. And it's a painful truth. It's a painful reality. I'm not going to spoil it. I'm going to ask you that you go and look at the video yourself, because the chances are you need to look at it anyway. You know, I'm pretty saddened at the conditions of our state of mind as a whole, and I'm not talking about us as a people, I'm talking about the body of Christ worldwide, because of our inability to actually retain and keep Yah's word in our knowledge. Are you following me? But it's a sad situation what's taking place in the world today amongst believers. We're going to go over a few things here. Now, we're going to talk about, and I hope that you're able to listen to me, so we'll stop rehashing, or regurgitating, or repeating the same old attitudes, spirits that we find ourselves doing again and again, over and over and over again. You know, I preach on spiritual warfare. I speak about the very character and nature of spirits, and I'm sure that if, you know, we don't stay on top of it, they're going to creep back in, and we're going to relax everything that is going on, and we're going to become prey to them even more so. Alright, so let's be completely honest with ourselves, because that's what really truly matters, us being honest with ourselves, so we can change ourselves through what the Bible really truly calls deliverance and repentance. Okay. One of the toughest spirits that there is to minister on, because there's so little information in the scripture given about it. What you see more than anything is you see somebody's life being lived out, and then if you can pay attention and discern, you'll see the function of it, and you can discern how that they may feel at that particular time. This particular spirit right here is a principality. It's a power. It's a ruler. And it does rule. But it all starts with Hosea 4:6, when it says that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because here's the key right here. Because we reject it. And so the root spirit just happened to be the spirit of rejection. All right? It's a powerful spirit. You're not going to go into the Bible and see a spirit of rejection being mentioned at face value. Are you following me? But you can see when people have been rebuffed or cast off, cast away, or rejected. It's a really, truly a strong feeling, strong emotion, and this spirit has voice. It has voice. And so the only way that we can actually really, truly expose this spirit is talking to you about its character, the way it behaves. And try to draw experiences from our lives, apply them so that we don't repeat the same mistakes again and again and again. The one thing I realized is that if we go a long period of time without talking about certain spirits, we find ourselves giving prey to them again, functioning after them again, because we didn't retain it in our knowledge the way that we should. Are you following me? We didn't retain it the way it should. And it's all from that forget. Are you following me? That's like I say around here, you know, you have people that are spiritual dynamos when it comes to spiritual warfare. And everybody always go to those certain people, but they will not for themselves do any study whatsoever at all. They won't do it. See, when you refuse to study, you're not putting it in your heart. And if you do everything like the lazy American spirit always does, Google everything, or we know who to go ask. I'm not talking about research. I'm just talking about, you know, why should I study? I can just go to Sister so-and-so. Well, I need to study. This brother knows right here. And it goes back to what Elder Austin was speaking about, the difference between boys and men. Boys don't mind complimenting somebody else who does an excellent job. It's just that they ain't going to do it themselves. That's the difference. A boy don't mind. Say, yeah, look at them. They work hard. They do a good job. Yeah. But they will never, ever, ever leave that particular mindset and go to a man and become productive and produce anything, because they still have a boyish mindset hoping to benefit off the labors of men. We do the same thing in deliverance. We want to benefit off the all the time, the effort, and the energy that other people have put in. And we become lazy and lethargic. Hallelujah. It's just a fact. It is the truth, though. You understand? I mean, it's a painful fact. It's a painful truth. Now, James 2:8 says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. See, one of the biggest forms of rejection is because we don't love ourselves the way that we should. And of course, if we don't love ourselves, we like blaming our neighbors and everybody else for the reason of our inability to be able to love ourselves. You know what I mean? We got to make ourselves feel better. So that way we don't have to deal with ourselves. We can just deal with everybody else, and we give ourselves a pass. Are you following me? But the Bible says if you can fulfill the whole law, the royal law, according to the scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you will do well. Now, the truth is, in the midst of this wicked and perverse generation, we're not doing too well. We're not doing too well at all. And we're not doing too well because we won't change our behavior. I will give you this. The one thing I said in that particular video I just did about returning spirits is this. We get on the internet, we seek out a place or people. We know that the Bible is true. We know that healing is the children's bread, and we know for a fact that it is still available to us today. We definitely don't know ourselves, because if we did, we wouldn't have to seek out for anyone who knows about this. So what we do is we seek out those who have knowledge of it. We come, we visit, and we receive it. We get healed. We get doctor's verification that we have been healed. And then we go and return to our same old lifestyle without real true repentance working in our lives. In other words, we will not change this because we've been mind numbed by the society that we live in. We think that, okay, what do? Whenever we got sick, go to the pharmacy, get some drugs. Go get some over-the-counter medication. And we never once repent for nothing. We don't change our minds. We change nothing about our lifestyles at all. And then, after you receive healing, because Jesus is merciful, isn't that right? Right? You go to his children, because that's where the bread is. You receive it. You didn't go back and purpose in your heart and mind to change your old nature, your old character, your old attitude, your old lifestyle, but you stayed the same. You enjoy the fruits of it for a while. Only later on for the symptoms to creep right back up again. Then the doubts start ministering into the hearts again. Your own record testifying You've been healed. Now it returns. Why did it return? Because you didn't change your mind. The warning of the Messiah was, you go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. But that was for everybody else. That wasn't for us. So just like when we go to the doctor, go to the pharmacist, or go up here to buy some over-the-counter medication, we don't go looking for repentance. We go looking for comfort for the symptoms that we're experiencing because of the sickness or disease. This is the way our mind is, and it's never transformed. Never at all. Then it comes on us again. We go, why? Same thing with spirits. You find yourself operating again and again. You know, deliverance, you do good for a while. And the enemy is a form of a fault. That's what the book tells me about the adversary. You have to retain Yah in your knowledge. That don't mean you forget. Because if you don't, you will be destroyed for lack of it. We have a smorgasbord of knowledge presented to us. Here at this ministry, given to us, laid out on a platter. What happens when the performance is not meeting the word that is coming out? And we see some improving and getting better and better, and some of us are still the same. The Bible calls that kind of character lukewarm. And I remind you, I'm going to remind you that lukewarm people are the ones who are spewed out of the master's mouth. Because he said, if you're going to be like, I would rather that you be either hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out. But that's for everybody else. That's not for us. I want to remind us, Israel, to much is given, much is required. Hallelujah. Excuse me. I still got this thing going on. All right. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin. You hear that? In other words, if you respect one person over another, you commit sin. You're more favorable to another person more than you commit sin. And are convinced of the law as transgressors. And then it goes on into talking about other things that are still related to it, but not to the subject at hand that we're speaking here tonight about. Rejection. Now let's go into some of it. Rejection is a feeling of being unloved and not accepted by a group. That's one part of it, among brothers or sisters. Rejection has a voice, all right? The voice of rejection tells us that we are unwanted. We're put aside and we're refused. And when we feel this way, we respond according to the way that we are feeling. Is that right? Now, we know that the word says that a double-minded person is unstable in all of their ways. And it's just a fact. It's called two-spirited. One minute you hear it, one minute you like that. One minute you hear it, next minute you like that, all right? It's a war. It's a war of double mind. It's actually an emotional torment. That's exactly what it is. And because rejection, what that whole spirit does is anyone who wants to love us, we drive that love away from us. Because you're influenced by a spirit. Even when someone does love you, you have this feeling that comes upon you that makes you feel rejected. And nothing that anyone can say can change anything about it, because that feeling ministers and means more to you than the reality of what words are speaking that are sitting here in front of you. So the voice of rejection. Have you ever heard this voice in your mind says, and then you put power to it by articulating it and says, you don't really love me? You ever said that to someone who loves you? You're just saying that. In other words, you're just saying that to bring comfort because you are aware of how I feel. I hear what you're saying, but I know better. You ever hear that? Or the truth is, you only like what I can do for you. Now, how do you penetrate a fortress like this? It's already got a wall built up that can't even get in. Are you following me? And this is something that is conducive to the human race. if I can say that, because people feel rejected. Yes, they do. Because as Israelites, the one thing we want to do is be received and loved by the brother. And we really truly don't care about the heathens. It is mostly among the brethren, all right? So when someone opens the door to us, you know what I mean? What we do is shut it. Because if rejection has got your heart and rejection is ministering to you, how you think it's going to keep you bound? Unless it shuts the door that is trying to be opened. All right? And the door we're talking about are the doorways of your heart. Is that right? So rejection slams the doors with accusations of being unworthy. Well, we already know you're unworthy. The Bible even tells us we're unworthy. So just accept the fact that you are unworthy. Are you following me? But you are worthy once you understand the program, if I can use them words. Does this make sense? So anytime someone starts to show love towards us, the first thing we do is we slam the door shut. Now, if we don't do that, because we are rejected or we feel this way, then the next thing we do is try to go and pick a fight. Some type of verbal altercation, verbal sparring with someone. But you have to understand, this is because we're functioning from a spirit that's trying to insulate and protect this position. And we don't play too much the spiritual warfare unless we're doing mass deliverance or something like that. Are you following me? But in life, every single day, this is a reality. One of the things, or let me say another thing that rejection does, is it actually blocks our ability to be able to reconcile differences between parties. It doesn't want any peace. So henceforth, we go back to James. You know, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. James 2:8. You hear that? Love your neighbor how? As yourself. And of course, what is the principle of our word teaches us that has been given to us? Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. So you want somebody to slam the door on you because you slammed the door on them? Huh? You want your ability to be able to reconcile differences shut because somebody shut the door on you too? Is this how we return love? Well, they picked a fight with me, so I'm going to pick a fight too. And this is how this spirit builds a fortress, and it insulates itself and is protecting itself from anyone who does have the love of the Father. Now, if we don't conquer this spirit, there's no way that the goyims out there in this world are going to know the love that we should be having, the charity we should have for each other. Period. I mean, we see each other out at times, and sometimes it's almost like a family reunion, even though we see each other on a daily basis. But when we're out, it's like, wow, it's the only present comfort. When you see Israelites out, you're like, wow, and everybody looking at us all strange. Brothers hugging brothers, sisters hugging sisters, sisters hugging brothers, brothers hugging sisters, picking up children and kissing them just like that. They all, what is this bizarre behavior? But it has to be something more than just a superficial external manifestation that the world can produce themselves. This has to be something that is lived amongst us and has become part of our character and part of our nature, and we have to be able to drive these demonic spirits away from us. But before we can drive anything, we first need to be able to retain Yah in our knowledge and have discernment to recognize the enemy when he's functioning in us. And then we'll be able to see clearly, to see the mote that is operating in our brothers or sisters' eye, rather than going to war and going to battle and fight as if we are the Holy Spirit police. But this spirit will drive love from you. It will do it. Rejection always tells you that you don't belong. Yet you're here. It's utterly amazing. It's a feeling. It's a feeling. It's unreal. What they do to us. I'm going to read something here, okay? Listen to this. A person who is plagued by rejection is given to irrational and continual self-introspection. They walk around with their head hanging down, are unable to look you in the eye, but seem to always be looking for approval and acceptance from others. They constantly on guard, watching to see if someone notices them. Why? Because you're looking for acceptance. But you're already accepted in the beloved. We understand this? Many negative emotions can actually come from this spirit of rejection. So, first thing we need to do is recognize, do we deal with any of these type of behaviors in our own selves? Let's just be honest, you know, and nobody knows my heart like I do. This is really, truly, this is tell the naked truth, all right? And have I or do I respond like this? Or does pastor have to get up here and do a scripture study and tell us how this spirit talks when I already know how it talks because I'm dealing with it myself on a daily? See, you can amass all the knowledge you get all day long, but if you don't have your heart set to do anything about it, it has strength to remain, legal grounds and rights. Does this make any sense? That's why it's a tough spirit. Christ understood what rejection was because he experienced betrayal all the time. Can you imagine how much of a letdown it is you're living with the disciples all these years and you're showing them heaven, you're giving them the word of the Father, only to watch them go out and perform the very opposite of what you told them to? Well, this is what we deal with even in our own selves. I said all that to say this, that rejection is another one of these sins we never repent for. You know that there are sins in our life we never repent for because we have the big category of sins. And then we have all this, look at this, evil that works sin. Now, y'all listen to me, Israel. I've said it many times before. Whoever called jealousy a sin? They don't. That's why they won't repent for it. And so therefore, the devil has grounds and rights to remain. Whoever calls envy a sin? Oh, come on, that's an emotion, something we feel. It's rationalized by us by saying it's just human nature. Well, if it's human nature, you know, you're supposed to mortify the deeds of the flesh. You know I'm supposed to give place to the flesh. If it's human nature, that means the heathen got the same character, the same nature. And this is the nature we're supposed to be killing off on a daily. Is this true? We ought to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Is that right? But because we don't call it sin, the enemy has legal grounds and rights. And so whenever we open up our mouths, we're actually speaking for the devil and not even realizing it. But a discerning ear will be able to hear it. Is this making sense? Rejection is the root cause of us having the inability to give love because we're fearful of being hurt by giving love. So we don't give it, nor do we receive it. It's a powerful principality. It's not taking any prisoners. Or let me say it's taking every prisoner. We shouldn't be taking no prisoners. Make no mistake about it too. Rejection always judges facial expressions. You know, it looks to see how someone's gonna respond or react when you come around. Also, it can confirm that rejection is already working. And when it's confirming rejection, you'll see? See? Who can stand a chance against something like that? Huh? How can you win a battle like that when everything has an answer? You need to ask yourself, how many times you've given voice to this? That's why the scriptures over and over tell us, number one, a fool uttereth all his mind. And then it gives us a warning, don't you take heed to all words that are spoken, you'll hear your servant curse you. And yet we put so much stock in everything too. Oh yeah, we do. You know, if we can just take heed, to all the negative emotions, at least put some attention to it, then maybe, just maybe, we can breathe a little bit and have some victory. And maybe just a little joy in our lives. You know what I mean? But it's going to take effort. You can't be no lazy American. I'm telling you. It's going to take effort in what you do. Ain't no need in running and hiding, because people like me that's got a discerning eye and ear, I see you clearly. But you can't hear my words when you're operating in the spirit. It's hard. The problem, past experiences we have not reconciled, gotten right, and it's us. You ever notice the embarrassment of rejection too? It doesn't seek out wise counsel. Because this spirit of rejection, it really truly doesn't want a level of intimacy or contact with others. Because it has a design. The design is, trust in me. I'm the one you feel. I'm the one that's always here. And you got a friend in rejection. And rejection got a friend in you. So don't give me the excuses. Human nature. I told you, we're the only people that have the power to walk in the flesh or in the spirit. Now, we are dual nature when it comes to that. The world don't have his Ruach. They don't have his Holy Spirit. But we do. And we are fully aware, especially when you had a ministry like this, be you out there on the other side of the camera here, you're fully aware of the warfare. And you know it's real. And yes, you do. You know that it's there. Isn't that true? Whether we do something about it is another story, though. Because, see, the truth is, as much as I love you and love, much as I minister to you, you can see my labor of love for you and stuff. I can't live life for you. I can't do it for you. If you're not motivated to be sanctified, then I can't do it. I'm releasing and delivering myself by giving you this wonderful word. Delivering my soul. And I need for your soul to be delivered. Hallelujah. You know, the enemy, he doesn't want us to go to the next level. He wants us to continue to make an idol of our pain. Because you can see it. It ministers to you more than the truth does. Well, I can't let nobody really truly love me and know my heart, because if I do, I may open myself up for control. But you don't mind being controlled by this spirit, though. That's got you all jacked up for all these many years and days and hours and time and personal torment. Did I say something wrong? We're fighting a real battle. Y'all know what Ephesians 6:12 says. We're fighting a real battle here. Make no mistake about it. Remember, there's nothing from without that can destroy us, only that which is within. Are you following me? Wherever it is without, be it spiritual or natural, we have to open up and let it in. Either it has to trespass, and then from that point, it's up to us what we're going to do about it. But we have to be trained. We have to be informed. Or let me say educated with a knowledge of truth. So rejection is a sin. If you don't think it's a sin, it already has power over you, and you're in the ultimate deception. And nothing can be done. So if you put these sorry feelings and emotions in check and get the right feelings and emotions, because there are right feelings and there are right emotions, they're the ones that gender to the fruit of the Spirit. You should automatically know when you're out of order when the fruit of the Spirit is not manifested. Sadness, is that the fruit of the Spirit? Sorrow, is that the fruit of the Spirit? No, all of those are manifestations to let us know that we are missing the mark. Does it make sense? Y'all learn anything? Good, let us stand. Abba, Yah, we thank you for all things, pray this in deep down in our hearts in the magnificent name of Yahshua HaMashiach. Amen. King coming. Shalom.
Look at him looking.